There's nothing like the warmth of a summer afternoon. Waking to the sunlight, being cradled by the moon. Catching fireflies at night, building castles in the sand. Kissing mama's face goodnight and holding daddy's hand. Thank you. How could I ask for more? Running barefoot through the grass, a little hide and go seek. Being so in love that you can hardly eat. Dancing in the dark. There's no one else around. Being bundled underneath the covers, watching snow fall to the ground. Thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more? Such an irony of things that mean the most to me are the memories that I've made along the way. So if there's anything I've from this journey I am on, simple truth will keep you going, simple love will keep you strong. 'Cause there are questions without answers, and flames that never die, and heartaches we go through are often blessings in disguise. So thank you, Lord. Ooh, thank you, Lord. How could I ask for more?
Story from the Bible long ago about Shadrach, Meshach, and old Abednego. How the wicked king commanded they be thrown into the flames because they would not bow and then deny their father's name. Mama said the king stood high upon a balcony so tall. When he looked in, he was shocked by all the things he saw. He thought that he would find them lying dead upon the ground. But instead of three, he counted four up walking all around. Well, then I said, wait a minute, there's one thing that I must know. If three went in and three came out, then where'd that fourth man go? And I never will forget it. Mama danced across the floor. These are the words I heard her say. She shouted through the door. Well, he's still in the fire and he's walking in the flames. He'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And he can still deliver by his almighty power. Well, here below, it's good to know he's still in the fire. Well, he's still in the fire. his flames. But I'm glad that I can tell you through the power of his name. Not one flame of fire will touch you. You'll come through it and you'll tell. Yesterday, today, forever, he is still alive and well. He's still in the fire and he's walking in the flames. He'll be there to help you when you call upon his name. And he can still deliver by his almighty power. While here below, it's good to know he's still in the fire. While here below, it's good to know he's still in the stretch out my arms. No one put nails in my hands. I'll never feel the weight of the world or carry that cross on my back. Nothing I do could ever repay all that you did on that day. You took my place up there on that tree. You paid the price so that I could be free. You died for me, so now I'm living for you. Lord, that's the least I can do.
Pastor Earl threw me a curve this morning, so we are changing the scripture to Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. Thank you, Brother Earl. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his good, glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be fulfilled, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word and upon Brother Earl.
Thank you, Sari, for catching that curve so graciously. I threw it to you, but you did well. So we only moved one chapter, but that's it. Now, I got to explain why that happened, because this is interesting. I called late this week to tell Sister Judy about the scripture and the sermon title that I had planned for you, and it's in the bulletin. But then on Friday morning, the Lord said, So things changed. Sometimes the Spirit leads you a different direction, and today's just exactly that case, and thus the scripture also changed. You may have noticed that the scripture is a prayer that Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, prayed for all the believers that he was preaching and teaching to. And I hope you understand, in fact, I know you will, because I'm going to tell you what it means in just a minute, how important understanding and knowing where we are in our journey of faith is. Now, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my God and my King, and I trust and pray that he will also become, if he isn't already, your God and your King. I want you to know that this text, which I changed to, basically tells us six pretty important things, and I'm going to cheat. I did this late in the week, so I'm going to use my notes here so I can see them. Paul prayed that God would grant to you from himself the riches of his glory. God took some of his own glory and is going to place it in you. So we're being blessed by God. Second thing Paul prayed for was to strengthen you through and from the Holy Spirit. Jesus already told us that he's sending the Comforter to be with us, and that the Holy Spirit would be our guide. It would help us discern and make our way through this world, help us solve and find the answers to our problems. It would be our guide in our life. Paul said that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. You got to believe, otherwise Christ doesn't get welcomed in. Remember that painting where Jesus is standing outside in a garden and there's a door there? Have you ever noticed when you look up close, there's no doorknob? It's a door, but there's no handle. Next time you see that picture, take note. You know why there's no handle? Jesus wants you to open it from the inside and let him in. He doesn't force his way anywhere. God wants us to choose to love him. Paul said also that you are to be rooted in love. Now, God is love. We learn that from the time we was knee-high to a grasshopper. So God is saying he wants us to be rooted in him. Again, we're being blessed, receiving the glory of God. Paul prayed that you and all the saints, all the believers in the world, are able to comprehend all the dimensions of Christ's love. Brother and sister, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't. But you need to try. You will never fully understand how deep and wide and broad all four of those qualities that were in that text, in that one verse, the love of God is for you. It's incomprehensible, but you should still study on it. You should still think about it. You should still praise God for it, that he loves us. Scripture even says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? Why does God love us above all his other creation? We don't know. It don't make sense to us. But to God it does. And he does. And thank his holiness that he does, because by his love for us we are saved. And finally, Paul says, as he prays, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Wow. The fullness of God. The complete perfection and expression of the being of God. God's existence received and growing in you. Now that's what I call a powerful personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the prayer Paul prayed in these six verses for you. Now, why am I doing this today? Why change the scripture? Why change the message that I was going to do? Well, I found out I got to have a heart catheterization. That's no big deal. I've already had 11. I've had four-way heart bypass surgery. I've had 3 heart attacks. I got, I think it's 13 stents in my heart already. My students, when I was teaching school, used to say, "Oh, come on, you're lying because you don't have a heart." After I had my 4-way bypass surgery, I went back and I said, "I got one now, even if they had to put it in there." So, yeah, I got a heart, and mine's not as good as what it should be. So I'm going to have a little procedure Tuesday morning, but I'm not worried about that. Been there, done that, and God is good. We'll do her again. And amen. I'm glad somebody knows. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's right. So I asked myself, after getting this news, at first it was going to be a month away. That was on Wednesday when I was calling Judy. On Thursday, I got a late call. "We can't wait a month. We need you to come in right away so we can figure out what's going on here." So they moved it up to this coming Tuesday, an entire month forward. And I got to thinking, "Lord, what's going on here? What is it that I need to tell somebody that I haven't told them yet?" And so I got a list. And the sermon title today is "Listen Up." Because I made a list of things I think you need to know as a believer in Jesus Christ. And yeah, it's a long list. There are 12 of them, but I'm going to make it quick. Don't worry about writing it down. Don't try to. I gave a copy of it to Miss Judy. And your copy is a whole lot more convoluted than mine because I wrote all the scriptures that explain exactly what I'm telling you down underneath it. So you get both. You get the item and you get all the scriptures that's found in the Bible. So if you want a copy, ask Judy. She'll give you one. Now here it is, what God laid on my heart to share with you today. There is a God, and He is working here and now for you. You got to believe that, brothers and sisters. And if you don't, I hope if you go away here with nothing else that you believe that. God, who is the I Am, He exists. He was here before anything was. And He loves you and He's working for you right now. He will be tomorrow too. Just sit with that for a few seconds. That God is working for you. Secondly, He loves you, and that love is immeasurable. I just said it a little while ago. Jesus is the proof of it. God loved you so much, He sent Jesus down here to take on a human form, to become God in the flesh. And then, of all things, to die for our sins, to pay what was owed for our sins, that debt which is death. That's why Jesus died. Was the only way that debt was going to be paid. He had to die. He knew what He was facing. God understood it, and He did it just the same. So that we could have, of all things, life. And not just the life like we got right here and right now. Eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. The third thing that I want you to know is that God is with you. As a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is present in your life. That's a personal gift from Jesus Christ. Now, you may not have thought about it that way, but I want you to think with me just for a minute. At Christmas time, and we're coming up to that, all of us love to get our little Christmas presents and our packages. Who, even the oldest of us, get excited when we get them. We act like we're not, but we really are. We always like to see what's inside of them. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't. But imagine if there's a present sitting under the tree. They tell you it's yours, and you say thank you, but you leave it set. Never pick it up. Never shake it, squeeze it, do all the things we do with presents to try to figure out what they are. But you leave it sitting on a tree, turn and walk away, go home. after the Christmas celebration is over. An unreceived gift has no value whatsoever. So you have a responsibility to accept the gift God is giving you. Miracles are real, number four. They happen constantly, and a miracle is nothing more than the proof that God is real. Because man can't do it, God does it all the time. You know, there's all kinds of things in the natural world here that we live in that prove science and mathematics and everything else say they can't happen. But they do. Bumblebees aren't supposed to fly. Do you know that? According to physics and everything else, the size of their wings, the weight of their body, and all that other stuff, they are not supposed to fly. But that's exactly what they do. We used to have a camp down south of here, one that I loved and went to as a boy, called Camp Bethel. One day we were out there playing. We'd been coming to the camp for years, and there was this guy standing there, and he was staring at a place we call Hillside Auditorium. It was an outdoor worship amphitheater was what it was. And it's on the side of the hill. That's why we called it Hillside Auditorium. Logical. And the seating part was up and down the hill, and at the bottom the stage flattened out. And it had a roof over it, so if it rained, we could still sit there and worship and Bible study, whatever we used it for. And he was standing there staring at the building. And all us kids, after a while, just got curious. What the heck is going on with this guy? So we walked over and asked him, "Hey, mister, why are you staring at that building so?" He said, "Well, I'm an architect. I'm a builder. I've been drawing and designing buildings all of my life. And that one shouldn't be there." We said, "What? What do you mean it shouldn't be there? It's been standing there for 25, 30 years. He said, "Yeah, but according to mathematics and everything I've ever been taught in my architectural school, I'll get it, that thing shouldn't be standing. The weight of that building coming down that hill and that small stage at the bottom, there's no way that thing should be standing up there, let alone having been there for 20, 25 years. We laughed, said, "That's why this is God's camp." And we walked on away. We were satisfied. Miracles are real, and so are angels. Next one. Number five, angels are real. They're all around you, and whether you want to admit it or not, you got a personal angel watching after you all the time. Sometimes more than one, because I don't know about you and me, Sari. We can only need one, but Bill, he needs about five. You can kick me later. We have angels around us and in charge of us, and I want you to know and believe that. And just as real as miracles are and angels are, so are demons and so is Satan. And they don't quit work either. Number six, the Bible is the Word of God, the will of God. It was given here for you, and it is true and it is powerful. I could tear a page out of this book. I'm not going to do it. I could read the same verse every time, every day, for every day of my life. And every time I read it, I could glean a new piece of knowledge out of it. When I tell you the Word is powerful, that is exactly what I mean. It knows where you are, who you are, how you are, and it knows what you need to know. And when you read it, God puts the seeds in your heart and in your mind. Don't underestimate it. And let me give you a little bit of word of advice for a fellow that's preached for 54 years. Pay attention to every word in the verse. Because even the smallest ones are important. They lead you somewhere important. Number seven, God wants to talk with you. And He wants to hear from you. And prayer is the avenue that you do it. You can use your Bible too. That's a good way to talk to God. You can come here and talk to the preacher or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Nothing wrong with that. You could talk to the person sitting beside you in the pew. Yeah, talking to another believer works good too. You can always get advice and information about what God might be thinking or feeling from all of them. But if you really want to know, go straight to the source. Talk to God the Father in the name of the Son through the power of the Holy Spirit. God desires that. Did you hear that? He desires it from each and every one of us. Number 8, your job, your duty, is to act like one of His children. It's not just coming to church on Sunday or telling somebody that you're a Christian, that you believe in Jesus. It's not putting a sticker on your car or a magnet somewhere that has a cross or a fish. It's living your life each and every day, speaking the words that bring honor and glory to God as you go through the day. God wants you to do the job He put you here for. And your job, your duty, is to be His child, to be a good steward of all that He has given. And you haven't got anything hidden come from His hand. You hear me? Everything you got came from God. It's a gift. It's His provision. And you need to act accordingly. Live and share and spread your faith and thankfulness in God with every breath you believe. Number 9, every day, this life is a gift. Make the most of it. And I want you to hear me in this. It's short and sweet, but it's true. Procrastination is a sin. I said make the most of what you've got. And that's what God wants too. Don't waste it. And don't worry, I'm going to go all these real quick for you one more time. Number 10, what you say and do and where you go or what you don't do matter. Don't you think for one minute you're not being seen or heard. There is nothing our Heavenly Father misses. He knows it all. I've stood up on the 14th floor of a hospital one time looking out the window over the city of Roanoke. So now you know, might know what hospital I was looking at, although there are 4 in Roanoke. Anyway, it's down south in Virginia. And I saw all the people down there, 14 floors down, walking around and going on. I thought, not a single one of them knows I'm here, that I'm watching them. I can see what they're doing and what they're not doing and where they're going. God's like that. He's way up there, looking down, not missing a thing. Thinking to himself, if they only knew. That's why Jesus stopped outside of the city of Jerusalem and wept. Oh, that you would know, as he cried. Number 11, we have an enemy, an adversary. He's real, as is his opposition. Satan, his demons, and the things of this world are stumbling blocks between us and what God wants us to do. But it has no power. Satan can't do anything you don't let him. The demons can't take any power you don't give to them. The world, with all of its shine and glitter, won't ever match the glory of God. You got to keep that in your mind and in your heart. And then number 12, the only authority, threat, or power the enemy has over us is exactly what I said a minute ago, the power you allow them to have. Why do you think Jesus said to Peter, the one who became the most prominent of his disciples, Peter, Satan, get thee behind me. We can speak the power and the love of God, and it freezes the enemy in their tracks. I needed to tell you that, brothers and sisters. I don't expect to go to heaven on Tuesday morning. But I want you to know, if the Lord decides that's where I'm supposed to go, I'm happily taking the trip. So I'll see you, though, I think. Because I've done this so many times. But I want you to think about these things and take them seriously. And if you get a chance, share them with somebody else. There is a God, and He is working here and now for you. He loves you, and that love is immeasurable, and Jesus is the proof. God is with you as a born-again believer. His Holy Spirit dwells in you. The miracles that happen are real, number four. They happen constantly, and the power of His love is proved in them. Angels are real. They're all around you, watching over you. The Bible is the Word of God. It's His will, and it was written and given to you, and it has truth and power. God wants to talk with you. He wants to hear from you, and prayer and the Word of God and any other avenue you can find is a good way to get there. Number eight, your job, your duty is to act like a child of God. Be a good steward of the blessings He gives you. Live, share, and spread your faith and the hope of it that it offers. Number nine, every day this life is a gift. Make the most of it. Don't procrastinate. Number 10, what you say and do and where you go and even what you don't do sometimes. We call it the sin of omission. They're all important. Serve the Lord with gladness. Number 11, we have enemies, adversaries, very real opposition. But Satan, his demons, and the world have no power over you that you don't give them. Now, brothers and sisters, if the Lord does call me home, I want you to say, well, He told us. Because I have. As a believer in Jesus Christ, this is what you need to know. And Paul prayed it upon you. But even before Paul prayed it, God desired it that you had it. And you do, unless you turn away from it. Let all God's people say, amen.